This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
Welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. Hello, YouTube.
Morning, everybody.
I think Jesus would be a soccer fan if he was a sports fan.
Definitely be a soccer fan.
Yeah.
I could definitely see
that. I don't think he wants the violence of football.
No, no CTE.
I think soccer fan. I just see Jesus with a scarf chanting, jumping up and down with the people, swaying back and forth.
I think he'd be a mean striker, too.
I also think he'd think Texas A&M football fans are weirdo.
A little weird.
What's your guys' deal?
Talk about upset alert. They're going on the road to South Carolina this weekend. It's still Cocktober, in case you didn't know. Saturday, it won't be anymore, yeah. But the lead into the game, still Cocktober.
How would you say November with them? Yeah, I got to be careful here.
Okay, I'm going to go and pass on that one, Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and not touch
Covember?
That one. Yeah, yeah, that works. Let's do that. That sounds good.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. I don't know if we'll get to Blazers in hour two. That was the meanest cover by the Sacramento Kings ever last night.
Oh, was there a final bucket or something? What did I miss at the end? Because they were down by like 18 and I went to bed.
Well, they were down by 26, yeah. Actually.
They
were hanging most of the game and then they got blown out. And then they cut it. And then the Kings put in Dougie McBuckets late last night. I learned Doug McDermott is a King.
Dougie McBuckets.
And he came in and he instantly had like 8 points. And he pushed it. And Ryan Rupert got into the scrub time and was trying like hell to get some buckets for himself.
Come on, Rupert.
He cut it to 13. He went for a steal, didn't get it. And the Kings dribbled out. The spread was 12.5.
Oh, no.
Danny told me pregame, hammer the Blazers plus 13.
Oh, they're going to cover. This is the night. Come on. That didn't work out for you.
Bad day of gambling there.
Bad, rough day of gambling.
I want to start not with gambling per se, more of an update on a topic we brought up a couple weeks ago. Ashton Jeanty was fantastic. Travis Hunter this week became the first player in Big 12 history, or maybe the first player in college football history.
I think it was the first player in college football history
to win both offense and defensive player of the week for his conference.
That was incredible. He was the best player on the field. It wasn't even close on Saturday night, and they won again.
They've had a nice year. Colorado's had a nice year.
Great year.
You noted in show notes, we're just not talking about Colorado, which is interesting because last year we couldn't shut up about Colorado, and this year they're good.
Yeah.
And we don't even mention them. It's like, oh, yeah, they won again. Go look at the schedule. They have a shot. They're not perfect. They got a shot to win 9 games this year.
They're in the mix, man. That Hail Mary for them against Baylor a couple of weeks ago, it saved their season. They were heading back towards 500. They won that game, and they have not looked back since winning. I know they got tripped up by Kansas State a couple weeks later, but that was a game that could have gone either way.
They blew that game, too.
Very well could have won that game, and Kansas State might be the best team in the entire Big 12. Like, they got a chance to win 9 games this year, which is remarkable. Nobody's talking about it.
Which is weird. I don't quite understand that.
Like, it's a cry wolf thing of, like, people had so much Colorado shoved down their throats last year, and they ended up being in last place in the Pac-12 and going 1-7 or whatever it was after their 4-0 start, or 1-8.
Predict this for me. They're at Texas Tech, and Texas Tech was, I think they were the just ranked, or they were having a nice season.
Texas Tech is different at home than they are on the road, too. It's a tough place to go play.
It is. Utah at home, who has
they suck.
I can't believe I'm
Utah's
saying
terrible.
Whittingham having a bad year.
It's the same as last year. They don't have a quarterback. They can't do anything offensively. They're terrible.
At Kansas, who's not good.
Kansas is terrible.
And Oklahoma State at home, and Oklahoma State's not having a good year either,
no.
And I don't know what's going to happen with Gundy and OK State.
Yeah.
What is your record prediction for them? They are currently sitting at 6-2. They are bowl eligible now.
I'm going to go 9-3. I think somebody will get them. I don't think they're unbeatable. And somebody, maybe it's Texas Tech. Maybe it's Oklahoma State at the end of the year. I don't see them losing the other two.
You imagine they go 10-2.
You go 10-2. It's nuts. They'd technically be in the mix for the Big 12 title. I'd have to go look at who else everybody has to play. But remember, they only have one conference loss. The other loss they have in the regular season was to Nebraska. That's a non-conference game.
Well, right now they're behind BYU, Iowa State. They lost the tiebreaker to Kansas State. So they're fourth right now.
Fourth.
Conference.
But I think they kind of go through a rotation of playing each other, if I'm not mistaken, in the closing weeks of the year.
I know Kansas State, Iowa State close the season playing.
They play each other, and so a lot of it will depend on who has a loss, who wins those games. But that'd be wild, man.
But we brought up the Heisman conversation a few weeks ago, and Hunter and Janty are certainly in this. I think they're locks to be in New York at this point, personally.
Janty didn't have a great showing on Friday night, unfortunately for his cause. He was not very good in that game.
And he still got over 100
yards. .126 and a tutty.
He had 128 yards.
Isn't that crazy?
But he averaged less than 4 yards a carry. I mean, I watched every down of that game. He was not. His longest run of the night was 16.
No,
everybody was
kind
of waiting for him to, like, when's it going to happen?
Certain.
When's it going to happen? And they bottled him up most of the night.
I know, but his down day is 126 yards, and they still won, which is important for him.
Yes, it is.
Your guy, Dylan Gabriel, is the Vegas favorite to win the Heisman Trophy right now. And this is. It's become a little bit of a polarizing topic of a lot of people saying, yeah, he's good. He shouldn't win it. Like, he's kind of getting a little bit, and it's not him, but the idea of him being the favorite has generated a little bit around the college football landscape. Blowback to a certain extent of, like, no, he shouldn't win it, but it's largely been a quarterback award.
Yep.
I still think there's a spot and opportunity if Colorado's 10-2 and Hunter plays the rest of the year, and JT and Boise State are the playoff team. I still think they are better bets, but it's interesting that in Vegas, it's Dylan Gabriel again.
The quarterback for the number one team in the country is always going to be in the mix to win the Heisman Trophy. That's just the way it works, whether it's Oregon or Alabama or Georgia or whoever else. Like, you're just in the conversation. I do think Gabriel's having a great year. He's got funky turnovers every now and then, but in their biggest game, he was outstanding, and he carved up Ohio State, who has an elite defense. He had a rushing touchdown in that game. He used his legs. Like, he's having a really good year this year. Having him be the favorite right now, I do chuckle a little bit at. And maybe this is just me being tired of it being a quarterback award. The 1 and 2 in this market right now should be Travis Hunter and Ashton Jeanty.
You don't even think he should be top two?
You can put him third. That's fine. If you want to tell me he's third, he's having a really good year. I don't have any issue with that. I'd love for another Duck quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy. Don't get me wrong. Dude, Travis Hunter is doing something we've never seen anybody do this before. You just gave the stat. Him being offensive and defensive player in the same conference in the same week.
Never happened.
It's bananas, man. He played almost every single snap. He's the best player on both sides of the ball for their team. He's the best player in the entire sport. The biggest question for Hunter, and I remember talking about this early in the year, was twofold. One, will Colorado be manageable enough to win enough games to have him be in the conversation? Because if they go 4-8, you ain't winning a Heisman Trophy on a 4-8 team, as dumb as that might be. So they got to win enough games for him to do it, and then he's got to stay healthy. That's been the scary part about him playing every down, basically, of every game, is he gets banged up at some point. He's missing a chunk of time. So last year he got hurt. Earlier this year he missed a little bit of time. He left one of their games early, kind of came back. But he has been relatively healthy and playing at a high level. If he continues this and finishes the year, and they have the record that now we're predicting they're going to have of maybe 9-3.
Or 10-2.
Dude, it's a runaway freight train. It's him, and it's not even close. Like, Jeanty, I know that we can laugh at his down game, you know, quote-unquote, being 128 yards. You guys are right to kind of chuckle at that. The tough part for him was the start of his year was getting compared to Barry Sanders' all-time record-breaking season in college football, and there were numbers going around Friday. Like, Barry Sanders' lowest game that year was, like, 180 yards and three touchdowns. Like, it just, I think that's the hard part, is we were setting him up for this bar of, like, can he live up to that? And having under 4 yards a carry against UNLV, who does have a good rushing defense, it was just tough because they don't have a lot of marquee games left on their schedule. They already played Washington State, which was one of their bigger ones. He torched Oregon. This was a Friday night kind of standalone game that probably got decent eyeballs. You got Oregon State at the end of the year that maybe will be there. I think it's a Fox game, if I'm not mistaken. So he's got a couple of shots, but he's just not in a lot of big-time national TV platform games that's going to help his cause.
Yeah, the thing that railroaded him a little bit, and I don't think he cares. He seems like a good, level-headed dude.
Yeah.
He sat. Like, there's one or two of these games where he sat in the second half because his rushing totals were amazing and they were blowing people out.
Against Utah State, he had 13 carries. Yeah. Against Portland State, he had 11.
And if he would have played the second halves and just gone for 300 to 400 yards, which he probably could have.
Easily.
He's in this Barry Sanders all-time rushing breaking season.
Yeah.
You know, the crazy thing on Hunter is, like, I 37 going on 38, I watch these guys play football, college pro, and I just go, God, my body would be hurting so bad. And you would think that about Hunter. Did you see him catch a touchdown pass this weekend, and he just did a backflip casually in pads?
No big deal.
Like, unbelievable.
It's nuts, man.
I know it's a touchdown celebration, but I'm like, how does your body allow you to even do that at this point?
Yeah.
Is Dylan Gabriel the Heisman on his own team? Who has been the Heisman of the Ducks? If you had to give the award, Andy Durr Johnson says, Gabriel, you've been great. Thank you for being a good leader.
Yeah.
But is it Gabriel, or would you go somebody a little off script here?
It's so hard because they're so deep and talented that, like, who would you pick defensively? Derek Harmon's probably been their best guy.
Harmon's been in the
mix. He's having an awesome year.
Yeah.
But I don't think if you take, like, I don't know.
It was probably Birch before the injuries.
Yeah, yeah. But now they're still playing great without him. Like, they haven't missed a beat without him.
I know.
That's the hard part. So I think he is. I think Dylan Gabriel is one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
It's just the easiest position for us to watch and say, good, bad.
Yeah.
Good, bad. Whereas, like, you know the offensive line collectively as a group is good. Do you key in on the left guard?
Right. Is it Josh Connerly at left tackle? He's your MVP.
And he's probably been worthy of being in
there. Poncho. That. Give it to Poncho, baby.
He's stabilized the center position for them. But we don't focus on them. We watch the guy with the ball slang the rock and go, great pass. That dude, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. If they go undefeated in the regular season, they find a way to win a Big Ten title game, I wouldn't be shocked if Gabriel ends up winning it.
Well, it's the award.
That's the way it works, man. That's the way it works. You're undefeated, you're on the number one team in the country, and you're a quarterback, that's usually the guy who ends up winning the Heisman Trophy. Whether it's right or wrong, fair or not, I'm not going to complain if another Duck wins it. I just hope that if Travis Hunter continues this, and give Gentee time. I'm not eliminating him in any way, shape, or form from
because
this.
He might take on UNLV in the Mountain West title.
Totally
game again.
Could.
If he goes for like 200 yards.
Totally. I mean, he's at 1,400 yards basically right now for the year. He's got a great chance to finish over 2,000 yards. I don't think he's going to get to Barry's number, but he has a chance to do some historic stuff that we've never seen. When you have somebody doing something that has never been done before, that deserves the award. We can feel however we want about Colorado. We can feel however we want about Travis Hunter. If you're doing something that's never been done in the history of the sport before, that should get the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I think of all the Colorado stuff, Shador can get people riled because of the Rolly celebration, though I don't feel like he's as in your face this year because they're maybe not shown as much.
Yeah.
I feel like he's been a pretty supportive teammate. He's played really well. Dion certainly elicits a response from people in either a good or bad way. You said you can feel however you feel. I feel like Travis is maybe the most universal person at Colorado that people go, he's awesome.
He's streaming on Twitch the Monday after a game in like a giraffe suit. Like, he just seems like a goofy kid, man.
He is, yeah.
He's just having fun. He's enjoying the dream. He's, you know, he's going to head to the NFL and be a top five pick next year.
We'll have more on Oregon at the bottom of the hour. Dan Lanning spoke at his Monday press conference, so we'll bring back some of those cuts. It is a Millsack Therapy Tuesday. So just let it all out, baby. Sports Jesus is here. We'll answer any and all questions at the mail sack. Vancouver Ford text lines 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. We'll get to that mail sack at 8:15. But coming up next, a couple audio clips from the college football weekend from two coaches and How do you sort out the chaos? Next on The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll hear from Dan Lanning and Sharon Moore coming up at the bottom of the hour. If you're watching on YouTube, I tried to come in as sports Jesus. I had a beard, and then it was impossible to talk with and itchy. And so now I just look like a knockoff Kmart version of Howard Stern.
Yeah, it didn't really go well. The beard didn't hold up very long in the opening segment, and that was kind of all she wrote for the Jesus Halloween costume today.
Boy, if that's how a real beard feels on your face, I kind of get...
It's itchy. Once it grows out, if you don't treat it with some conditioner, it just itches, especially however far down your neck you let it grow.
Neckline gets constant scratching. Yeah, that's all you do.
Yeah, maybe it's better for me I don't grow facial hair and that I look like a pubescent child my whole life. Maybe that's what it is. It's a therapy Tuesday.
It's your lot in life, man. This is what you got. It's the hand that you were dealt.
This is exactly. All you can do is play the hand you're dealt. I was born with pair fours. We're gonna bluff our way to the top.
Maybe you'll get there. Maybe the third four shows up on the river.
A mail sack Tuesday. So get the mail sack questions in. We'll talk a little Blazers. We got some more college football to get to. I want to play two coach cuts, and then I want to talk about the chaos that is looming. The first one is, you may have not watched any of Miami, Florida State. I wouldn't have blamed you if you stayed away.
I actually did, unfortunately. I didn't want to, but one of my quad box options on YouTube TV had that game in there, and so I ended up seeing a good chunk of it.
Well, Miami won in blowout fashion. They could have won by more, but they won by 20, so they handle their rival. The rival is 1-7. Florida's not very good this year. Mario goes down to Miami in hopes of turning it around, and what's Mario known for?
Quarterback play?
No. What's he known for?
Being a red ass?
What's he known for?
Being a hothead? Being a Miami guy? I don't know. What's he known for?
Recruiting!
Oh, is that what he's known for? Yeah? Offensive lineman, I would say, probably more so than recruiting.
Really?
Yeah, he's a great offensive line coach.
Thanks for playing the game. Cristobal known for recruiting. He had this to say in the post-game press conference after clubbing Florida State this weekend.
All recruits in-state, out-of-state, can now clearly see the trajectory of this program versus the trajectory of the other programs.
And then he walked off.
I love the awkward slamming of the podium, too.
He kind of jokingly smiled after he did it, like you like that? You like that?
Yeah, I mean, you really showed Florida State. Florida State's been a wagon this year. Not many teams have been able to knock them off. We know the prestigious season that they have had, and what an impressive win for Miami.
I think you're holding on to angry duck crystal ball stuff. I think that's more of him, like, him saying that. How often do you get coaches that talk about your rivals or your in-state schools that are like, hey, look at the situations and tell yourself what's the best option. It's us, period.
Yeah. I have a hard time with them. I understand why he's doing it. It's a brilliant strategy. Florida's down right now, although they have been a little more respectable in the last month. Florida State's literally one of the worst programs in the country. They are terrible. Their only win on the year is Cal, and they probably should have lost that game. They could be an 0-for team. They're near dead last in the ACC. They're 1-6 in ACC play. Like, that's a horrendous program. So I totally get the in-state stuff. The interesting part about Miami this year, maybe this just never changes because I don't have a lot of faith in that conference in general. Like, go look through their 8-0 start and tell me what their best win is. Is it Florida in week one?
It's either Florida or Cal.
Cal's...
Maybe Louisville at
Cal's
Louisville.
Cal's 4-4. They're 0-4.
Louisville at Louisville is not easy.
Okay, yeah. Louisville's 5-3, so maybe it's Louisville. Virginia Tech's played a little bit better. Well, they're also 5-3. Like,
look, you want to play that game, we could play that game with a lot of teams.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Part of what I want to get
to. But this is what a lot of people have responded to with of Mario with this kind of, you know, bold take of, yeah, come to my, look how great we're playing, right. Which he's, hey, there ain't no, man, you are what your record says you are. So he gets the final laugh in that. There is a part of me internally, though, that chuckles because that conference is terrible. Clemson's the only team with a heartbeat, and they don't play Clemson in the regular season.
Mike Elko, the new coach at A&M, gets a second-half turnaround win against LSU, replacing the quarterback. Brian Kelly, after the game, basically said, if I was a coach, I'd run it on us with the quarterback. Said they weren't prepared for Marcel Reed at all.
Oopsies.
Wow. Here was Mike Elko. Everybody took note of this comment in the postgame.
I think it's the way we talk to the young people. I think the things that we talk about, the messaging, how we bring really good people into the building. We talk about doing things together. We talk about culture, and everyone talks about it, but then we go out and we live it every day. And I think we back up our actions. We're very honest. We're very open. And this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football, this is a really good place to be.
Now, he could just be generally talking about college football coaches all over the country, but many people thought this was either Brian Kelly or Fisher. I did some digging. Very complimentary of Brian Kelly on his coach's show last week.
Yeah.
I read this and heard this as a shot at Fisher. Now, he sent out a statement.
He had his press conference yesterday said that was not the case.
He said, I am very good friends with Jimbo. I'd never say anything about him. I don't buy that. I think if you go look at Jimbo Fisher, the ultimate snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
Nice little moment for Elko. Who do you think this was about? General coaching and programs or a specific person?
I think it was general coaching. I know that's not the hot take that people want, but he did come out and say that yesterday. We also have to remember that Mike Elko was his defensive coordinator.
He worked
Jimbo.
For Jimbo. Yeah.
He was at Texas A&M as their DC for 3 years, I want to say, before getting the Duke head coaching job, and then obviously came back to A&M this offseason. I don't think he would take a shot like that as his former boss. I don't think that he would. And as you mentioned, he's been very complimentary of Brian Kelly. I think this was just more of a general statement similar to what Mario was trying to do. It's just these guys are always recruiting. They're always trying to get the eyes of the best players in college football. That was a top 10 win for them, man. Like, I know Jimbo had a couple of random upsets. Like, he beat Alabama 2 years ago and kept him out of the SEC title game. He had some big wins, but this is an A&M team that legitimately has a chance to make a college football playoff this year. They're a one-loss team. Their only loss in the season was in week one in a game that could have gone either way to Notre Dame, who's playing good football and has only lost one game in their own right. I think this was more about just the general nature of, like, I'm not the flashiest guy in the world. I'm not the most outlandish guy. You're not going to get hot takes and all these funny quotes from me, but you want to be good at football, you come play here, and that's kind of who Mike Elko is.
College football tends to sort itself out, and we thought with the 12-team playoff, this would be easier, less stressful, less debatable. And as the season got on, I remember just thinking about, like, you don't think we're going to yell about 10, 11, 12. I think you're out of your mind.
Oh, God, yes.
I went and looked at the top 20. I stopped at 20. And I just want you to tell me what 12. Now, the Dirty Poll comes out Thursday, but like...
Yeah, Dirty Poll will be out Thursday.
There's a lot looming. So I'll give you one example. The ACC. Did you know Miami, Clemson, and Pittsburgh don't play each other?
No. And they're all undefeated in conference.
And so there is a scenario looming where Miami misses the ACC title game undefeated.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh plays Clemson. And let's just say, for S and giggles, Pittsburgh wins. Does Clemson, with two losses that got to its conference title game, get bumped? Because right now they're top 10.
Because Miami would have, you would assume, have to be in. In
Miami
this scenario,
is a lock.
They're undefeated and that they would have to be in the playoff.
Right. So you're going to take three. Like, because Josh Pate said this, because Danny Cannell tweeted that LSU has been eliminated. And Josh Pate, who will join us tomorrow, was like, really? You think that's true? I kind of do. What is LSU? Who is LSU beaten? What's their best win?
Is it Ole Miss. Ole Miss is their best win.
Ole Miss, they had some struggles against Oklahoma this weekend. I don't think they look particularly impressive. That being said, I think there is potential, like, how do you get just 12 teams out of this?
Well, and this is the hard part that's going to drive everybody nuts at the end of the year, okay? So we use Pitt as an example. Now, Pitt has not caught on in the AP poll, at least. They're undefeated in a power conference. Pitt is. They're 7-0. Go look at their schedule and who they beat. This is the hard part for some of these other conferences.
11 teams ranked above them with have one to two losses. Yes.
BYU has kind of been this as well. Like BYU has finally creeped their way into the top 10. Now, they have a win over Kansas State that they can hang. That's a big-time pelt on their wall, and it might end up putting them into the Big 12 title game. The hard part for them is there wasn't a marquee non-conference game, and when you look up and down the Big 12, there's not powerhouse programs that we just presume are going to be elite coming into the year and they're ranked near the top 10. And so you don't have a lot of opportunities for quality wins. And the other part of this, that these conferences are learning the hard way. This exists in the Big 10 too. Oregon, Penn State, and Indiana are all undefeated in Big 10 play. They don't play each other. There is a scenario where they all three went out. It starts this weekend if Penn State beats Ohio State. Then you get Indiana, Ohio State in a couple weeks. None of them play each other.
So Ohio State loses two more times, which I would put out of the realm of possibility.
The way they look this weekend, sure, it didn't look great, right? This is what they're learning the hard way. It's great to get rid of divisions because divisions were dumb and there was some arbitrary way to decide who plays for conference title. And the Big Ten had this for years where you'd get an Iowa at like 7-5 in the Big Ten title game instead of undefeated Ohio State and one loss Michigan or vice versa. That should be your conference championship. But when you have mega conferences, you can't play everybody. And so you're going to have these weird situations where you only play in some of them 8 conference games. Most of them play 9. There's 18 teams in this conference, man. You're still not playing half your conference, and you're going to have these weird loopholes you got to figure out.
I think there's a scenario also looming where Iowa State loses once, doesn't go to the Big 12 title game.
Are they in as an 11-1 team that doesn't go to the Big 12 title game?
They're undefeated and ranked 11, so I think the committee is going to completely F them. But like, imagine going 11-1 in a power conference.
Right.
And the committee's like, no, we need two loss, bam, our LSU in. Like, what?
I mean, that's the thing with LSU. We can laugh at it all we want. If LSU wins out,
what is their marquee win?
I know.
Stop with the conference stuff. What's the win?
It would be Ole Miss at the time, and then they play Alabama next weekend.
Okay, so
They would beat Ole Miss and Alabama.
Alabama
and be 10-2.
Would be 3 losses on the season.
It would be 3 losses on the year.
And I think everybody that's watched or followed college football would tell you this Ole Miss team is not what people thought they were going to be.
They have been a disappointment this year.
Okay, and also you point to the marquee wins, which I'm not arguing with you. I think I'm more arguing with your accuracy of the read on this.
Sure.
Texas? I think Texas is a playoff team. What's their best win? Michigan ain't top 25 no more, brother.
I mean, how do you sleep on UL Monroe or UTSA or Colorado State in non-conference? I don't know how you sleep on those games.
Okay.
I don't know how you do that. Vanderbilt, probably their best win of the year, to be honest with you.
Great.
Oklahoma will not finish the season unranked. Vanderbilt, I mean, I know they were ranked when they played them. Shouldn't have been. They won't be at the end of the year. They're 4-4.
I just think you can point to all of the – we can point to BYU. We can point to Indiana. We can point to the teams we don't buy because traditionally we haven't had a reason to buy them. And I can also point to all the teams you do buy and say, best win is who?
Very valid.
And I just, it's crazy, but a 12-team playoff may be almost impossible with the way these conferences are aligned.
I mean, if you just went highest ranked teams in each conference, is that, you know, there's your qualifier, right? That's your AQ. So Oregon in the Big Ten, Georgia in the SEC, Miami in the ACC, and who would it be right now? BYU in the Big 12?
Yeah.
And then let's say Boise State's your 5th as a conference champion. Give me your 7 at-large teams.
I can't.
One loss Tennessee, are they in? Your point on Texas is valid. BYU's undefeated. Iowa State's undefeated. Pitt's undefeated in a power conference. Are they in right now for you?
Bama could finish with 2 losses and a win over LSU.
Clemson is looking good, but they got drubbed by Georgia in week 1.
And they've also played nobody, really.
Does A&M or Notre Dame get in? Because Notre Dame has a loss to Northern Illinois, but they beat A&M. Yeah. So they have the head-to-head win, but A&M's probably playing better.
This is dumb.
Good luck figuring it out, man. We are going to be screaming at each other in about a month when these rankings start. When's the first one? In 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's like November.
No, next Tuesday.
Next Election Tuesday. Day. Oh, God.
Whoa.
Great timing, college
NFL
football.
Trade deadline, Election Day, college football playoff rankings, and one side of the aisle is going to lose their collective S. What a Tuesday that's going to be.
Now imagine your politician loses and your team's outside the top 12. That's good. That causes the bigger S storm. Like, just, we're going to be screaming at each other the rest of the year. This whole idea that it'll go, oh, once we're at pass 4, nobody will really care about 8, 9, 10, or 11. Yeah.
No, you care.
Yeah, you wait, buddy. Yeah. We're going to be screaming at each other.
We have a lot more to get into. The mail sack at 8:15, a Therapy Tuesday. Dirt and Sprague here. We're back with some landing audio. His peekaboo at Michigan. We'll get to that coming up next.
Welcome back in, 7:37. Don't forget the mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions in. Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Got some good ones rolling in early on. That'll be fun to answer.
I cost us a listener. I want to apologize for
you
that.
You did. Somebody's very offended by you this morning, Sprague. Way to go, man. Way to go. Just killing the vibes out there.
It helped to tell you that I grew up in the church.
You know what we say?
You'll be back.
All right. Let's get to...
Father, forgive us.
Oregon and Michigan are playing this weekend. Does this have any juice for non-Duck fan?
Nah.
No.
Michigan's terrible.
Michigan's that bad that it just doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
Because going into the year, this was one of the ones you circled. Hey, Oregon, defending national champion. They played twice, kind of famous games, at least in the Northwest for us, when
Didn't Oregon beat them.
Did
Ducks house them the last time they went out there?
In 2007, Oregon killed them by 30 the week after they lost to Appalachian State.
Statue of Liberty play.
I will never forget sixth grade dirt at the time rooting against Oregon when they came for the Lightning Strikes game.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up a Michigan fan because every kid's a front runner, and that's kind of how life works. And then you eventually grow out of it. And I was such a big Charles Woodson fan. I didn't have any connections to Oregon at the time. I didn't have any family that went there. We'd go to games every now and then, so I'd root for him in other games. But as a kid, I grew up a Michigan fan. And I'll never forget talking trash. I think it was sixth grade when they played. What was that? 2002?
Sounds about right.
When they beat him in the Lightning Strikes game. I was talking crap that they were going to lose.
That's a funny admission by you, because I'll give you another one. And it's funny thinking about this show saying these things out loud. You rooting against Oregon when Michigan came. I remember watching the Oregon at Michigan game.
2007, I'll never forget it.
I wasn't at Oregon State yet, and I was laughing at Michigan.
Were you rooting for the Ducks?
I was.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was hilarious. Oregon was doing the coolest trick plays ever.
That was one of the coolest games ever.
That fake Statue of Liberty, Dennis Dixon keeper, is still one of the smoothest looking plays I've ever seen in a real game.
Yeah, they torched him.
And so it's funny you say you're rooting for Michigan when they came to Autzen. I was rooting for the Ducks when they went to Michigan.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer. It goes back to kind of what we're talking about in all this conference stuff, of that there's just, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of elite teams this year. Michigan is one of them. Like, they came in top 10 team in the preseason. A lot of expect defending national champs. Maybe all of that was overblown. They've been a bit of a disaster. Now, they did win last weekend against your boy Jonathan Smith. They won that game. There's a big fight afterwards.
They are ready to fire him.
At Michigan State? Oh, they're not handling that well at all.
The message boards are off the chain. They've got one person who's got a pretty good following putting out a Game of Thrones video where they're talking about how they thought he was the guy, and a guy whispering, "Sometimes it's the hard decisions we need to make," and just kept putting Urban Meyer in the clip.
I mean, their thought is,
they're insane.
You can't beat, like, if so you can't insane. Beat Michigan this year, do you think Michigan's going to get worse next year?
They are so unreasonably insane. I cannot stress that.
I mean,
enough.
They've been to a playoff in the last 10 years. To be fair to them, they went to a college football playoff. I think the standard is high at Michigan State.
I think, real quick, before you get to landing cuts, yeah. I think the optimistic view, even though Duck fan isn't going to go there and they're going to get ready for heartbreak, because I think you're just kind of inclined to do it, I would say that's the argument for why Swag might be right, and why I said yesterday I think they're on a tier. I just look at college football, and it's not that Oregon can't lose, see college football history. I look at all of the teams not named Oregon, Georgia right now, and I don't feel particularly great about them. Clemson has played nobody since the Georgia game, but oh, they're so great. Miami, they have no defense. Texas, yeah. They finally played a real team. And they got their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Yeah, no, I don't buy it. Bama. Nah, I don't buy it. I just look at the surrounding teams and I go, Oregon since week two has figured their problems out. And as even though they beat Ohio State by a slim margin, Ohio State, I feel like, has only gotten worse. So that's kind of the optimistic view I would look at if I was rooting for the Ducks, and why I think they're kind of standing alone with Georgia.
Well, here's Sharon Moore, the head coach at Michigan. He was asked about all the weapons and all the things that Oregon's bringing to the table this weekend. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, start with the quarterback, a guy that's played multiple games, multiple places, but he's elite in every way, reading coverages, making plays, making throws down the field, controlling the offense with his feet. So you got to do things to confuse him and make him uncomfortable. The O-line is really, really good, one of the best in the country. And personnel-wise, from left to right, they're all really good. The skill guys are fast, twitchy. Evan Stewart, really, really good. He stands out. So do the other guys. And then the running back, he's He's a violent runner. He's a smaller guy, but he's a violent runner, runs physical. And then defensively, they just play really good team defense. They've got good players, but they play great team defense. Coach Lanning has done a great job with, you know, the scheme, and their DC has done a great job. So it's going to be a challenge. We got to go prepare and prepare to go win.
So it's interesting, too, on top of this, a double whammy for them. I listened to this entire press conference yesterday. About 90% of it was about, will there be any punishment for the postgame fight against Michigan State once the fallout there?
Not this week.
Not this week. That's happened multiple times against Michigan State. Remember the tunnel incident a couple years ago where I think lawsuits eventually were filed?
Yeah, like,
this
I remember
that. It's been a problem for them now for a while. So that was the big bulk of it. The other double whammy for them is one of the guys you would argue is one of their best players is Will Johnson. Did not play last weekend. They're all-world corner, and he's not – they don't know yet.
They don't know yet.
He's a question mark, and we'll see if he ends up being able to go. That would be a brutal blow for them.
I think on the Michigan side, if you want to be fair and honest about this game, I don't see them having the horses to do it with this year's Michigan team. If Oregon is going to flirt with losing and being upset, it's going to be the start. It's going to be Michigan rocking, kickoff, defense comes out there.
Should be a good atmosphere. They'll pack that place in.
Oregon can't run the ball, three and out. It looked ugly. Michigan with some momentum. I think if you're going to do it, it has to happen at the beginning. If Oregon comes out and has a nine-play drive, marches down the field and gets a touchdown, I think Michigan fan collectively is going to go, oh, yeah, okay. That's what this day's going to
be. Here we go again. We saw this against Texas. Here we go again. The other part of that note, too, is that Michigan's not a team. If you get up two scores on them, they can't throw their way back into a game. They don't have the ability to do it.
No.
But if it's close and they can run the ball and kind of stay in their offense, they can lean on you a little bit. A couple more thoughts on this. Lanning talked about the team not getting distracted. We'll continue coming up next. Dive into some other stuff in the final hour of the show. Back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. A circle back text from a segment we were doing a bit ago.
Yeah.
On the playoffs, and you guys are way overcomplicating this. It's simple. The SEC is going to get four teams in. The Big Ten's going to get three teams in. The ACC champ will get in. The Big 12 champ will get in. Boise State. And then the last two slots will go to either a fifth SEC team or a second Big 12 team or Notre Dame.
Fairly certain that, I mean, that you're not is wrong. Accurate. I would push back. The ACC will get two if Clemson beats Miami. That's going to happen. They're not going to not put Miami in the playoff, even with a loss in the conference title game.
The ACC has a much better shot, I would argue, right now than the Big 12 of getting multiple teams in because of the brands that are near the top.
Significantly.
If BYU, Iowa State, who else? Kansas State's not a bad brand, but you get my point. If Miami, Clemson are different than those.
It's just severely unfair that if BYU loses in the Big 12 title game to Iowa State, BYU's first loss in the conference championship
game. Oh, they're out, dude. There's no chance they make it.
That's their only loss of the year.
They would take a two-loss LSU team over one-loss BYU. It's not even close.
I kind of think it's on all of those powers, whether it's BYU University or the conference itself. I think if that listener is accurate, and I'm not pushing back on that listener, I actually lean that way. We did it more of just like, could you imagine having to be a committee member and actually be asked to do this and try to tell yourself why SEC teams should be four or five deep.
Right.
I think all of the teams that get hosed, if Pittsburgh loses just once in the ACC title game,
no chance of getting in.
BYU loses once in the Big 12 title game and they're left out. Everybody that is screwed needs to collectively contact each other and make noise this offseason, because at that point, you're telling us we don't matter.
No, and the funny thing is so much of it has to do with the brand that you are and the perception that you had coming into the year.
Yep.
So I could look at Pitt and say they have beaten nobody, and that is true. Pitt has beaten nobody this year. But we just argued the same thing. You know who Miami plays in the last month of the season? You know who their remaining games are against?
I know there's a patsy in there somewhere.
They're 8-0.
Yeah.
Their final four regular season games. They get Duke at home this weekend.
That's probably their hardest challenge.
Probably. They go to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, shines.
Georgia Tech's 5-4 this year. They get Wake Forest at home.
They're terrible.
Wake Forest is 4-4, And then they're at Syracuse the last week of the season, who was 5-2 on the year.
That's a feisty team in Syracuse. It's
gonna be cold. Kyle McCord doesn't throw 17 pick sixes like he did at Pitt last Thursday.
I also said it's going to be cold to play in a dome.
Like, that's the they're going to legitimately go through the entire year without a win over a ranked team.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that they're going to get in. Why?
Win or lose in the ACC title game.
Because it's Miami.
Because it's the U, baby.
That's the way that this works, yeah. Man. That's the way that it works. Let's hear from Dan Lanning. So Oregon, number one. Remember, he was asked about this last week. You know what his response was?
I don't care.
Who cares,
right?
You know, they had a little food left on their plate.
Yeah, they did.
Finish that food.
They did.
Good food. Here is Lanning saying, how is your team not affected by being number one?
No, I just don't think we've ever measured ourselves based on what other people think. And that doesn't necessarily change. And we have our own internal goals that, you know, and our plan of what we want to be. And really, at the beginning of every year, everybody asks me what success look like. And to me, it looks like us playing our best football at the end of the season. So that's our goal, is to put ourselves in position to play our best football and focus on the process, not the result.
I mean, it's a team that wants to ramp up. And I think they've shown you that in a lot of second halves of games, of just not really caring. Like, all right, we got our work done this week, guys. Let's get out of here with a win. And we'll just keep working and trying to be our best at the end of November.
You pointed to yesterday's schedule when I said they were in a tier with Georgia kind of alone right now, that they have this to Michigan, back home to Wisconsin stuff happening consecutively.
Yeah, Purdue, Michigan, Wisconsin, and this every other week essentially for 3-5 weeks.
And I think that's an interesting observation, and maybe it'll rear. I thought what was one takeaway from beating Illinois, it's not that you beat Illinois the way you did. It was that Purdue was maybe the trap hangover. We just beat Ohio State. The emotions are running high. We're number one in the land now. We're going to Lafayette. And no hangover. Well, now we're coming back home. We're number one in the country. Our last home game, we beat Ohio State on national television. Well, here comes a top 20 team, Brett Bielema, physical smash mouth. No. And so, like, that's what I'm interested in seeing with Michigan. I mentioned how Michigan could maybe pull an upset this week. I think it's the start. It's to keep the crowd in it, get a couple early stops. That defense looks the part. I don't actually buy that that's going to happen, because they've had back-to-back weeks where it's been like, hey, you're number one now, short week. Well, clobber.
Is this your letdown spot?
Hey, come home now. You beat Ohio State last time. You played in this stadium. Yeah. Oh, here comes the top 20 team. Here's the trap letdown. No, not remotely close. And so it's like you've had back-to-back games where some, not all, some have been like, oh, look ahead spot. No, they've handled their business. And I don't know where he ranks as a coach in the country. I'm a big fan of what Dan Lanning is as a coach and what he has shown so far. But one quality he has early in his tenure is I think he has an ability to keep his teams focused. And this weekend will be a big test for that again, because they're going to a down Michigan team in Ann Arbor. You go and you smoke Michigan, it may be fair to say on Monday, maybe that doesn't exist with this group, that he's got this team entirely locked in.
Yeah, our buddy Josh Pate on Sunday, now he's got a show tonight, we'll have him on the show tomorrow. He teased he thinks this is going to be a chaos weekend, and I'm curious how much he includes this game in the mix on his show tonight.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to him about it tomorrow. Lanning also, we touched on this yesterday, but I think the difference between this team and Oregon teams of years past has been the depth that they have. You know, we mentioned jokingly who's the Heisman of their team so far. Was it Birch earlier this year? And then Birch goes down and the defense is just as fine without him. Like, they just have been able to plug and play. And Lanning was asked about his depth that he's built.
A lot of it's credit to our players not waiting for their moment to step up, but stepping up and being prepared for their moment. You know, we've had a lot of guys that maybe they weren't going to be the guy that took a ton of the reps at the beginning. And their reps have increased as their production's increased. And, you know, you say at the beginning of every season, like, I don't know if people realize what this guy's role might become, but we've had a lot of guys' roles that have grown because of, you know, availability, you know, and being available. But also they were ready for those moments when those moments came.
You know, one other note for them at the end of the year too, that I think they touched on a little bit on the broadcast last week, but they have been very cautious with red shirts and how they're using them with certain guys and wanting to make sure that you keep them under four games or four games or below for the regular season. Once you get to conference title games and playoff stuff, that doesn't count. You can play anybody. Those games are freebies for everybody. Like, this is a game, I know we've joked about the Dante Moore stuff. If you're able to separate, Dante Moore will play this weekend.
Oh, see, I always wondered if it was a Maryland game more for Dante
No,
Moore.
I think this one would be a symbolic thing for him because he's a Michigan kid going home.
Touche.
And so
that's a good point.
He's only played two games. They have two more that they could use, so you got four more games up from the regular. I think they've just been
that's a good point.
Really
the
smart about how
thing
they're using
would be a big deal for him.
Yeah, Jay Harris is another guy who everybody's like, hey, look at that. He looked great against Purdue. They want to redshirt him. So he's played in one game. He's got three that he can play the rest of the year. They've just been very smart with that.
Did he give an update? I don't recall. call an update on Birch.
He believes it sounds like they're both going to be able to play this week. And Ferguson should, but they were both back at practice. I had heard that Birch was back last week at practice. Not quite there yet, but was progressing towards coming back. And it seems like they both will play this weekend.
Pretty remarkable to not miss a beat on the defensive line without him.
Both those guys coming back will be a nice boost. Oregon at Michigan. We'll have more on that game throughout the course of the week. I want to get to a couple of NFL notes, including should two of the same foot be 2 feet? Did you guys see that last night? Should that have been a catch?
Oh.
I think that should be
a double toe tap.
I want to talk about that. I think we need a rule change there. Are we letting Russ cook? A couple other NFL notes. We'll get back into the World Series, which has been a dud. Does it end tonight? The mail sack coming up at 8:15. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Spraying on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.